And right now, here's our dear friend, Pat.
This one used to do it to 9, but I got 8:45. You start at 8:45.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alan Onick Pat. And real grateful member of the Alan Founder Group, and especially proud member of this group. God, I miss you guys. It's great to be home. We're glad we're here. Yeah, I thought the meeting was over at 8:30, so I said, oh boy, I got 15 minutes. So Willie said I can go to 8:45, I guess, to bore you guys. So, hey, one thing I'd like to do, I haven't heard this for a long time. Maybe you guys don't do it anymore, but it's always been a tradition. And we started this after we named the meeting. And by the way, thanks for reading that, Dublin. I did write that. And that was about 15 minutes of my pitch tonight, so now I don't have to do that. So I'll touch on a little bit how the meeting started. But gosh, I can't believe it's been 25 years. But anyway, we used to start the meeting every meeting. I don't know how many guys, old-timers here that remember, and I'll try it out on you and see if it works. Because we used to start the meeting. We looked at that clock. Jack C. and I used to compete to see who could see it first, and then as soon as it clicked to 7 o'clock, one of us would say, it's 7 o'clock!
Let's rock!
All right, okay. You guys are still doing that. I don't know if you still do it, but I remember that. I love that. Well, good. Okay. Gosh, I don't know where to start here. You know, Candy, God love, I love her so much, and we've been through a lot and over the years. But you know, we were so, I don't know, I guess you'd call it innocent back then. Mike went out. What did I do? Hit something? Hello? No? Not the other way.
Yeah.
Battery died?
Yeah.
Well, I can yell. That's okay. I got a big voice. So
I'll get it fixed for you.
Okay. Anyway, you know, Candy and I were high school sweethearts. Just cut to the chase. And so we had a great high school experience. It looked like, you know, this was it. But we didn't know anything. We didn't, you know, we were what, 17 years old when we graduated from high school. Anyway, I got offered a scholarship to Arizona State. I played football, and so she applied to Arizona State and got accepted, and I was gonna go, and I chickened out. And she was pissed, but she went to Arizona State anyway, and I went to Pasadena City College. Because I didn't know if I could play college football. Anyway, long story short, I played 1 year at Pasadena City College, got a scholarship to San Jose State. Great, I went up there. And then that summer, I decided to reconnect with her. I was hoping that maybe she didn't marry somebody or something. I got her to come to San Jose State. Well, long story short, played the first series and the first game of the season at San Jose State and blew my knee out. So then I only had a 1 year scholarship, so they didn't renew it. So I got recruited by the University of Hawaii, and I left her in San Jose, just like I did before, because she did transfer. And so anyway, got to Hawaii, and I got the crazy idea, why don't we get married? So I called her on the phone, long distance, because I couldn't afford to fly home to San Jose to propose to her properly. And anyway, a long story short, it took me a long time. She didn't accept her right away. She didn't want to do it. All right, thank you. Okay. So she hemmed and hawed. I'll be honest with you. And I was sweating it, you know. And Anyway, there's a long story behind that because it was a long distance call and I didn't have any money and I illegally jimmied the phone so I could talk to her without having to pay. And Ron, my sponsor, knows about this and it was in my four-step. So it's all good. I made restitution and everything is good. But anyway, finally I got to look at, you know, I got a scholarship here. I get to, you know, play for 3 years. We get to live here we ended up living there for 3.5 years. I said, we get to live in Hawaii, you know. So she kind of started to come around. She said, well, okay, I'll marry you. As long as we get to go to Hawaii. So we had, you know, 3.5 great years. I mean, the first 10 years of our marriage, just to let you know, was ignorant bliss. I didn't have a clue what love was. I don't think Candy did either. I certainly isn't the love that I found in this room and in Al-Anon, the unconditional love that we talk about. Well, we thought we were in love, and it was great. And you know, the baffling thing is, she wasn't the alcoholism hadn't taken over. She and I used to drink together, but she wouldn't drink very much. It's baffling to me. She took that job she told you about, man, it just took off. And so the first 10 years was great. The next 10 years was a living hell. Because she got caught up in the disease of alcoholism. And I was, you know, and I tried to control it, I tried to fix it, tried to fix her. And all those things she talked about, yeah, I did that. I was an untreated Al-Anon, and I was crazy. So, ended up down the road, finally we do the intervention, and she decides she's gonna fool us, I guess, because, you know. She said, well, she found a treatment center, 2018 treatment center. And so, you know, what can I tell you? Five treatment centers later, she's still not sober. And, you know, I have to tell you, the first time we went was, you know, we had the family weekend kind of thing where we go, we're supposed to be part of the group and all that crap. And, and that's what I thought it was then. And, you know, I was called the significant other. Boy, did I resent that. And, you know, I remember we had that first weekend thing and I was sitting right next to a counselor. They were gonna have a meeting. We were all supposed to participate. And I made the mistake, of course, of sitting right next to him. And he said, well, listen, we're gonna do like we always do in here, we're gonna do a round of feelings. And I'm gonna start with this gentleman right here to my right. And all I want you to do is tell us your name and how you feel. And you guys all know what happened. Or most of you done, the old timers. I said, I'm sitting in a chair like this, I said, my name's Pat, and I feel fine. I didn't know that wasn't acceptable. You know, they had all these feelings on the wall, big banners, happy face, sad face, and every other face in between. Angry face, that's what I had. And I was pissed, and you could see the smoke coming out of my ears. And it went around the room, and then the people said, well, I feel, you know. And I'm like, oh, God. You know. So, I, to say the least, I wasn't a real fan of feelings. Mainly because I didn't know what they were. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of feelings. I knew anger and fear, and maybe a couple other, and that was it. So anyway, at the end of that time, I was really lucky. It was a God shot for sure. At the end of the meeting, this nice, young, pretty lady comes up to me after the meeting and says, Pat, have you ever heard of Al-Anon? And of course I hadn't. I said, no, what's Al-Anon? She says, well, it's a meeting that we have here. In fact, we have one here tonight at 7:30. She said, you might want to try it. And I said, yeah, well, what's it all about? He said, well, you know, they just talk about things and it might help you. And I said, well, what will help my wife get sober? And she said, well, you never know. So I said, yeah, okay. So I went to that meeting that night and walked in and, you know, I'm still not sure, of course. I'm really apprehensive and anxious. And I walk in and I look around, there's about a dozen women in there, you know, all women. You know, I often say the average age was deceased. Actually, they're the age that I am now. And I said, what the hell am I doing here? And I started to turn around and leave, you know? And the secretary had gone out to get a drink of water or something, came back in and walked in and closed the door. And I go, oh shit, I can't get out of here now. And she says, oh, you must be a newcomer. Oh, oh God, why don't you have a seat, you know? And I don't remember anything about that meeting either, except at the end they said, well, Pat's our newcomer tonight, would you like to share something? And of course, I didn't know what to say, you know, but I looked at the sign, saw the traditions and the steps, and I said, well, I saw you see these steps and traditions. If you could just tell me which one to work that would get my wife sober, I'll do it. And they kind of jiggled. They laughed. They didn't giggle, they laughed. And then one of the ladies in the back, you know, like she had blue hair, and you know, I don't see that anymore, but that they had it back then. And you know, she said those words, you know, those three words that I didn't want to hear, and you all know what they are. Keep coming back, you know. So I did come back, not to that meeting, but I did find a men's Al-Anon group in San Marino. And, but you know, I still was so angry and frustrated. You know, I told Ron, my sponsor, you know, my hair was on fire and my mind was going 100 miles an hour. And I just, I didn't know what was wrong, or, you know, and I couldn't fix my wife. I was just so upset. And, but I hung around. I did go to the meeting. Didn't get a sponsor then, and didn't work the steps, but I hung around enough to for a while to let the miracle happen to me. And I'd like to tell you, you know, that I was one of these people that walked in, like some people, like some of you, and God bless you, walk into the rooms of Al-Anon the first time and find home, and they start working a program, their life gets better, and but that wasn't me. I have to tell you, and I mean, it wasn't me for a long time. I'm talking like 2.5 years. And I finally, I had my spiritual awakening. And for me, it was, I went to a meeting, and there was a priest that happened to be an AAN Al-Anon member, and he was doing a talk on the difference between spirituality and religion. And that was powerful for me. It was powerful because I grew up, I was baptized Catholic, and I have nothing against the Catholic religion at all. But my vision of what God was not what it is today. I thought God was a punishing God, and I kept screwing up, and I knew he was gonna get me, and I was going to hell, and that was it. So I just completely separated from the idea of the Catholic religion, or any religion, for that matter. And he told me, you know, there's a difference between spirituality and religion. And I said, well, because I always thought it was the same thing. What's the difference, spirituality and religion, same thing? No, it's not the same thing. And it allowed me to separate it and realize that I could find a higher power. I can find a God of my understanding. And it didn't have to be this punishing God, because that's what I thought God was. He was going to get me. You know, if I don't do walk that line and I'm not perfect, you know, I was a perfectionist like a lot of us in here at the time. I'm not anymore, thank God. But that's what I thought it had to be. So I had to, that made sense to me. And I accepted it and I prayed on it and I actually had a spiritual awakening. I could actually find a God of my understanding that I trusted, that I knew loved me, and it was gonna be okay. And that was a revelation to me, basically, right there. That I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Candy's going to stay sober, you know, or if she's ever going to get sober. But I was going to be okay. I was going to be okay. And then, boom, things started to happen. And a couple of years after that, and I started going to other meetings and kept going to San Marino Men's meeting. And finally, you know, I decided. Because, you know, there wasn't many men around back then in Al-Anon, you know? There wasn't very many Al-Anon men. And so we were going to the Chapter 9 meeting, and Willie and, was there, I talked to Willie a little bit about, you know, well, hey, maybe we start a men's Al-Anon meeting. And, of course, you heard the story from about that I wrote, that Candy said, and it was true, everything in there was true. She said, you know, you keep complaining about that, you know, that so late meeting and all this. And it was a selfish thing that I did. I mean, I wanted to start a meeting for me, you know, and do it my way and have it start when I wanted to start. You know, and she said, well, quit whining and start a meeting in La Cañada. It didn't even dawn on me that I could do that or would do that. But that's what happened. And I said, well, I wanted to start at 7 o'clock. You know, because the San Marino meeting was 8:30. You know, and it didn't get out till 10, and then went to the meeting after the meeting, and it was 11:30. By the time I got home, it was after midnight, and I did have to wake up the next morning, you know, and teach school. And, you know, they say go to any lengths, right? But I had a resentment. So, you know, that, because I had to go so late and everything. So that's what happened. And we started that first meeting, and I'll never forget it. You know, and it's ironic. It was Thursday, October 10th, 1991, and that ends up being kind of a significant date for us. And hopefully, I can tell you at the end of my pitch here. But so that first meeting was just like you said, and it started off slow, not very many men for a long time, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe 2 years, 3 years, it started to explode. You know. And it was great. I mean, we started getting, we had 18 men, and we had to move from that little room in Harris Hall to the bigger room, which is still not very big. It wasn't even half the size of this room. And we ended up overflowing that thing. And then they built this, and boy, right after they built this, we came in here. And it's just been going great ever since as far as numbers. And you know, I gotta tell you, it's not the numbers that count anyway, it's the recovery. There's tremendous recovery in this room. And I know, because for like 16 or 17 years, those first 10 years when I was here, living here, and going to meetings every week, that was, it was happening. I was getting recovery. I could see the people grow in this meeting. I could see myself grow finally. That took a long time to look back and see that I didn't think I was growing, you know. But things got better, and I got better because I decided to surrender to the fact that I had been affected by the disease of alcoholism. Because you see, in the beginning, I didn't believe that. I thought alcoholism was a moral issue. Okay, it's a moral issue. If Candy really loved me, she'd quit drinking. If she really loved me, she'd quit drinking. And she promised me how many times? 100, maybe 1,000. I'm sorry, I won't ever do it again, you know. And I wanted to believe it, just like all of us do. And I was finally ready almost to give up. You know, and we did get separated, and I left the house. But finally, you know, as I look back now, I can see it. You know, when I got out of her face, off her back, she started to get sobriety. And I'd hear through the grapevine, you know, because we weren't living together, that she got a month's sobriety. And I'd laugh and say, well, big deal, she'd go to those treatment centers for 30 days and get a month because she couldn't recall she's in the treatment center, come out and drink again. So I said, she's gonna drink again. And then she got 2 months and 3 months, and all of a sudden one day I woke up, she had 9 months of sobriety. And I couldn't believe it, and I was pissed. I was pissed. Because how could AA get her sober? I couldn't get her sober. I was pissed at AA because they got her. You know, that's how sick I was. So then I finally realized, and I realized it after I had that spiritual awakening when I heard that priest talk about spirituality, that it is a disease, that alcoholism is a disease. I believe that with every fiber of my body today. It is a disease. So then I started to change my tune. I actually learned to have compassion, you know, and really, and empathy for the fact that she wanted to get sober. She wanted to get sober, and she tried her damnedest to get sober. And it used to just piss me off. I'd say, well, and I wanted to find out, why do you drink? You know, what is it? Why do you drink? Because I used to drink, and I quit. Well, yeah, guess why? Because I'm not an alcoholic. And I kept doing that and doing that. And finally, I believe it was my sponsor, Ron, that told me, I said, what's going on? why do alcoholics drink, you know? And he said, what difference does it make? They drink because they're alcoholic. You know, I don't have to fix her. And of course I couldn't anyway. Couldn't control her, couldn't fix her. So I finally hit Donna, you know what, you're right, I can't do this for her. She's gotta do it. And it may happen and it may not happen. But you know, again, I had my connection, my spiritual connection with the higher power. I was hoping she'd get sober, but you know, I didn't know. And I said, but it's gonna be okay. I am gonna be okay. We might get divorced. And we almost went down that road. Thank God we didn't have to. And we started back together, taking baby steps. And my sponsor and Betty, both have kind of been our, not only my sponsor, but our couple sponsor, because their story is our story. Okay, their story is our, they had been through it just like we had, except a few years before. And I wanted to know, how do you do this, you know? Because I was such a controlling, you know, in understanding ourselves where it says some of us are arrogant, smug, self-righteous, and dominating? Well, guess what? That was me to a T. I was all those things. And I didn't believe it in the beginning. You know, and all those things that we grow up with, learning from my dad, you know, his big motto was, you never give up, you never surrender, you fight the good fight. And then my favorite one that I thought I liked, was right is might. Oh, I lived on that one. Because I always had to be right. And I gotta tell you today, I still like to be right. But you know, it's okay if I'm not. And I can actually say, you know what, you're right, I was wrong. I can say that today. You know, 30 years ago, you'd never hear me say that. And so it's just amazing that the things we learn in here and the connection we make with people and how we can work the program. And I don't care where it is. I mean, we live in St. George, Utah now, we love it. And I gotta tell you, they got a good program there, but it's not this group, you know. And of course, I'm a little biased, but you know, to me, this is the best damn Al-Anon meeting there is in the world, you know. And so that, you know, that's how it works for me. You know, I told you, Thursday, October 10th, 1991, that's when this meeting, the first meeting we ever had here, in that little bitty room down there. They had these desks that I could barely fit in it. It was like a kid's desk. And they had those little flip-up tops, you know. Well, you know, everybody just flipped them down because they couldn't fit in the damn things. And we sat there like this, you know, for probably a good year, huh, Willie? And Ron, you know? And then, I think it was Jack C. or something, came back from something. And some retreat or something. And he started hugging, you know? We became huggers, you know? Which I see tonight all over the place. What a beautiful thing. You know, I couldn't do that. My dad never did that. My dad never told me he loved me. Till he about 2 years before he passed. And he did that because I made my amends to him and we talked, and of course I hate to tell him, because I learned to say that. I learned to say it's okay, I love you. I tell my kids I love them. And so that's a wonderful thing. You know, and I found out what real love is. You know, it's not what Candy and I used to do in the back of my 55 Chevy in 1964. But she denies that. I didn't say I took her virginity. We just fooled around a lot. You know? But that's what I thought love was, you know? And so there's so much to love, you know, besides that. There's so much out there. I mean, we're talking about that unconditional love that a lot of you know, a lot of you experience, that I've experienced here with these men in this group. And so, you know, yeah, October 10th, 1991. Well, October 10th, 2014, we lost our daughter. It's hard for me to talk about, but I'm going to do it. And thank you. She wanted to, you know, sobriety. She passed away from an overdose of prescription drugs, opioids. And, you know, I never in my wildest dreams would ever believe that one of our kids would go before we did. And, you know, I had this thing in my mind, well, it's going to be okay, because Candy got sober, so she's going to get sober. And, you know, all I can tell you is, if you're in a situation like that, love your kids, tell them you love them, hug them. Because you never know. You never know. You know, we've been through a lot of counseling, grief counseling, in the last couple of years. This Monday will be the second anniversary, October 10th. And it's been a struggle, I'm not gonna lie to you. And I thought it was really gonna separate Candy and I. But you know, it hasn't done that. And you know why it hasn't done that? Because of you people. With all the fellowship and the men in this room and the people that prayed for us and loved us when we couldn't love ourselves, and they held us up. And that means so much to us. And that's what keeps us going. You know, that's what really keeps us going. And we stay close to the fellowship. And we're still involved. We started a couples group. And it's that sharing that takes place, that gut-wrenching sharing, the intimacy that's developed in that. It's just a tremendous thing. It's powerful. You know, that's something I couldn't do either, intimacy. We used to go to couples retreats and all the drawn intimacy, and I said, well, I'm not going to that one, you know? And you know what, I can do it today because I learned how to do that because you taught me how to do that. So anyway, gosh, we're so glad to be here. I miss you guys so much. It's almost the end of my time, but I just want to tell you that I love you, you know, more than you'll ever know. And, you know, I just can't say enough that what Al-Anon has done for us, and AA, of course, too, and together, it's just a beautiful thing. And we're going to be okay. And we're making it. We're struggling, but we're going to make it. And that's kind of all for it for me for now. But God bless all of you. I love you.